Hi, seid ihr bereit für eine neue Folge Brett Time Stories? Der maßlose Brettspiel-Podcast aus dem Westflügel Remscheids und der Dunkelkammer Bochums. Mit Haider und dem Potti. Zwei Typen, die früher mal cool waren. Viel Vergnügen.
Ja, Tag Leute, schön, dass ihr am Start seid. Wir sind wieder da, 14 Tage, ich glaube, es sind noch ein bisschen mehr als 14 Tage, sind wieder vergangen. Aber heute neue Folge BTS Brett Time Stories. Natürlich der einzig wahre Podcast über Brettspiele in Deutschland. Ich maße es mir gerade mal an. Aber schön, dass ihr wieder eingeschaltet habt. Und ihr kennt das Problem, die Herausforderung, das Prozedere. Erwartet schon. Daniel, gib Gummi.
Ja, für unseren Special Guest today oder heute, today, heute.
Sebastiana bella canzone, a far piovere amore, si potrebbe cantarla un milione di volte. Passaseggia, passaseggia, non ci vorrebbe più tanto. A imparare a amare di più.
Erkannt? Did you recognize the song?
Yeah, perfect. Perfect Italian.
Thank you.
Yes, so let us introduce our special guest today, Simone Luciani. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, so
yeah, welcome.
I'm very, very happy to record this today to be with you, because your new game, we are talking about it later, has such a special theme. I am also very interested in my free time, so I have a lot of questions. But the first question is, Daniel sang, I'm sure what the past is of the English word.
Sang.
In the 90s. There was some years Italian music was very popular also in Europe, and I recognized also my parents have CDs, double CD with two or three CDs inside, just all the Italianic music. So I like this one. I think I have also an Italian music playlist on my Spotify.
Very strange.
This is a song from my youth. I had a neighbor, and it was my best friend, and he was Italian, and his parents always listened to Eros Ramazzotti, and this was a new lifestyle to me in these years. And this was really the first song I ever heard and still remember as it was yesterday. So great song.
But why do you say it's strange?
Yeah, because Italian are not famous to export music. it's very rare to listen Italian music around the world. Some artists like Eros or some other are quite popular also in Europe, in USA, but there are very few. Mm. There are more UK and USA artists that conquered the world and respect the Italian musician.
Okay. Yes. So one which was also very, which became very famous in Germany was Andrea Bocelli with The Last Fight of Henry Maske. There was the song Time to Say Goodbye. Very, very cool song, very emotional.
Impressive.
A mix between a lyrical song and a pop song. So it's a very, very incredible voice. So.
Absolutely. So, Simone, we have some things to do today. And the first one is on every episode, we show our audience the drink of the episode. So the important question at this moment is, what is your drink today? What are you drinking?
Oh, it's not a good question. Because I don't drink beer, so and also not wine. So it's not a good question with German people to discuss about my drinks. It's something still a little bit embarrassing.
That's no problem.
But it is also very boring in Germany as well, because I drink a favorite German water, so it's called Gerolsteiner. And from episode one on, I asked them to sign me because I do commercial for them, and they said, no, not nerds. We just support our sportsmen.
We're not fame enough. We have not enough fame. But most of the episodes, I also drink just water. But today, I thought we have a special guest, and special guest, special drink. And there is... So normally, we are drinking also gin. Do you like gin?
Yeah, no, not bad.
I have a special
not
one.
Not too much.
It's called Kunstwerk. It's from North Rhine-Westphalia in Germany, and it's called Color Game Gin. So the color of the gin changes when you fill in the tonic water. It's an Asian botanical which is inside, so I'm just trying how it works today. So at first it's a little bit blue. And now,
okay, that reminds me on the Illusionist gin.
So, and so now it's the same. I will fill it inside. Oh, look at this.
Ooh,
oh. Look at this. It becomes a bit purple and pink.
I think Simone is very impressed, as you can see.
Yeah. It's a magical trick. It's not a drink. Ooh,
very magical.
Magic.
So, let's have a taste. Oh, yes. That's a great one. That's a really great one. Okay, so Simone, just have an introduction to our audience for the few people who doesn't know who you are. Explain them who you are.
Yeah, simple. I'm a game designer. I'm based in Italy. I started to create game when I was very young, but published my first game in 2009. And I work also with Cranio as a lead developer and lead designer of Cranio. And I'm a little bit famous for some medium complex game like Grand Austria Hotel, Barrage, and Marco Polo. Mm.
Okay.
In few words.
medium heavy. Well, for some
medium
of
heavy,
our
yeah,
audience.
Yeah. I start when I start to design. I'm very famous for ticket ride style game. So 3/4 hour, quite simple rules. Then something happened and changed my design and moved to the medium heavy game. But I prefer medium heavy than super heavy, so probably Barrage in the topmost level a little bit of my design. Mm.
So when you are creating and designing games, do you work the same way as in the past? Because I read something that when you were a young boy, so you developed some games and gave them to the neighborhood, and all of your neighbors were playing and liked the games?
A lot of things changes because you learn from experience. Mm-hmm. When I was young, I create game only having in mind, I like this idea, try to do something with that. I create a game about soccer. Mm-hmm. In when I was very young, with soccer cardboard, and I created a dungeon crawler. Then when I grew, I learned a different game. I changed my taste about games, and also I changed my skills to explore different mechanics. So something changed, and now I'm designing for work, so it's a little bit different, but not so much. Mm-hmm. The main difference is that you change taste and you change also your approach to the design.
Do you have some
when you
yeah Do you have
so
some?
When you design a soccer game, a medium heavy soccer game, please let me know. Because Poddy and I were discussing about the 11 game by Portal Games, but there was something missing that got me at the end. So I didn't back it. Maybe it could be the artwork, or I don't know exactly. But there was something missing to me or for me. So on the market, we discussed in our last podcast that the really good sports game are missing on the market of medium heavy or heavy board games, I think.
About soccer.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I think about it. I still working on a very early stage prototype these days, but not heavy, a little bit more family. But I think something a little bit more heavy, but at the moment I don't work really on a project, mainly also because I have a little bit fear about the feedback from the market, because till now soccer games are quite forbidden in from the publisher, from the market. Something is changing, so the market is growing and every kind of theme are going to be explored. So I think there could be space, but I have to evaluate a little bit better the situation, because when you invest a lot of time in an heavy game, it's better that you are sure that the game could be well received. It's not easy. Then you worked for 2 years on a game and then it's a flop.
That sounds a bit that you are also working on the game as or the focus on the mechanics, and also you are also evaluating which theme could be possible. Or do you have a focus on, okay, so now I will start developing a game about football or soccer, and I build the mechanics inside? Or do you starting with mechanics and then decide which theme could be possible with this ones?
I work in a really different way, and I have no static way to work. So I don't work on every project in the same way. Mainly, I start from the mechanics. Mm-hmm. Because I'm most on the Euro side, and on a Euro game, the mechanics are a little bit more important. But a lot of time I start from the mechanic, but in a very early stage, I try to find the right team for that game and design the side mechanics around the team. Mm-hmm. Because I like to be connected. Not every time I have a success to create something really thematic, but I try to do something. But sometimes we can start also from the team or something like that. It's it depends from project to project.
Okay.
So I start my first philosophical question, if you'd like to. So there are some games designed by you that feel very timeless. Let us take the game Zolkin. So in the last couple of weeks or months, many people in Germany, I think, said, oh, I have to talk Zolkin again. It's such a great game. And the market is overflowed with tons of games nowadays. Are you a perfectionist that you design games that you say, I want that my games will be played in 10 years and people like them? Or is it what is your approach in designing games?
I'm a perfectionist. Mainly because I like to see, to have the feeling that everything in a game is perfect. Never is perfect. So the develop never ends. But I like to develop. A lot of designers like to create a new idea, like to work on the first part of the game, then are a little bit bored and close the game and open a new one. I like to explore the details of the mechanics, the details of each spot. So I work for years on a game, not only one, several projects are at the same time, but I like to work for, this is why I love my also work in Cranio, because I have the possibility to follow the development until the end. So I like to, and also when I was, when I published my first game, the emotion is, wow, I published the game, so I want to publish another one. Now, after some games under the belt, the challenge changed. So the challenge is to create something that remains in the heart of the people, that is still played after years, because the market are crowded, and I'm proud when a game's is loved by the player for 4 years. So Grand Host Hotel or Tolkien comes out quite years ago, but still going to be played and enjoyed by the player. So this is one of my challenge when I design. It's not easy to reach the goal, but I'll try to do it.
So what do you think is the greatest challenge at these days? Because you also said that there are so many games, or also Daniel said that there are so many games which are published every year, and tons of games, mechanics, themes. So what do you think about the changes on the market? Because on the one hand, I think it's a very good development, because the whole community is rising up, it's growing, and also more people are recognizing, oh, board games are much more interesting than I've ever known. But on the other hand, I think, and that's what I realized in the last few years, there are also so many games which are, in my opinion, are not ready, but they will be published because we have to publish a new game. Every year we have to publish a new game and or two games. And so what do you think about the development, and what are the greatest challenges of this development for the whole board game community?
I think that the main reason, because not all the game are perfectly developed, because the market are very young, and there are not so much professional developer. A lot of developers are guys that have another work and spend some time to develop and learning in these years. If you look at me, that I published some success game, 5 years ago, I have another work. So the market is very young. The people are learning. So a lot of company are very young. There are a lot of company because the market are growing, and then it's fun to create board game. A lot of people try to make this business. So we need the time to create a company that have a good developer, a good editor. We have some big company that work in the market for many years and are big structure, and but there are a lot of young company that are growing year after year. So it's a really interesting moment, because every time something grow, there is a lot of idea, a lot of creativity, a lot of possibility now, but we have to learn something.
Does that make it harder for you to design games, because you think there are too many designers that do it part time? So you think I'm a full time developer and I use my whole creativity to work on a game, and you think, oh my goodness, they are creating such a stupid game? Or do you think it is good for the market that the spot on the market is much more given when such many games were put on the market? What is your opinion?
I think it's a good opportunity. If you look at the music at book where there are creativity market that are bigger there than our. There are so many people that try to do this job. Only the publisher are a little bit more experienced, so it's a little bit more structured. But I think it's a good moment with a lot of opportunity. I love to collaborate with designer to look at game. Yeah, a lot of time I see not so good game because mainly it's really difficult to create a good game. A lot of time you create a nice game, but not so much interesting to be a success. So it's really difficult to find the right combination, the right idea to create a really good game. And then also the designer need time to have to learn experience and explore the possibility of the game. The quality are growing. So not all the game are good on the market. So because 4,000 each year are really a lot. But there are a lot of good game with a very high quality each year. And this is the feedback that the market growing and also the experience of the designer and the publisher are growing.
But I think also a big challenge also for board game designers is that you got the point that you need time to develop a good game. You need experience. You need to feel the development of the game and also give them time to change. But most of the game designers are not in the position to give the whole focus on the development. And I think that's the main problem because there are maybe 10 or 15 board game designers worldwide, which are working as the main job on developing board games. And so they have time to develop because there's not such a pressure in their free time. But I think that's the main problem because, as you said, there are so many people also in other branches or in other sectors in the world market, but there are so many people who say, oh, I try to develop a board game. So I have an idea. I have a good designer and I can do some miniatures. And so I try to do a board game. And I think that's the greatest challenge, or isn't it? To have the time to, or to give the time to the board game development.
I think it's, in part it's true because you need time, but when you have passion for something, you find time. Mm-hmm. When I start to design, I read the biography of Alan Moore, for example. Then he speak. Then when he go to an holiday with their family, he rent a house with a big table to have time to work on the prototypes. Because the holiday is the space where he can work on games. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of designer I collaborate that is not full-time designer that work more hours than my employer. Mm-hmm. Because all their free time are focused on design. So they have another job, okay, mm-hmm. but Saturday, Sunday, night, all the time have in mind to create the best game in the world. So it's true. And I can publish 2-3 games each year and so many big game and develop a game because I work full time. But if you are a skilled designer and you have another job, you can do a good job. Don't know now, but for a lot of part of his life, sorry, the most famous German designer of Castle of Burgundy, Stefan Feld, have another job. He's a teacher and then an head teacher. He said, I like to have a job, another job, because it's giving me free of pressure to design what I like with no pressure. And I'm really free to design a game each year, no problem. In my position, you are free, you have a lot of time, but you need to create success each year. Mm. Because the market is growing, but it's not a big like music. When you make an hit, you are okay for your life. When you make an hit like Marco Polo or Tolkien, it's okay. Give you some royalties, but you need another success the next year to have the money to live. And so the income is not so high like in some other business. So you have the pressure to do a good job every time. And when you release a game, you have little fear, because if it's not well received, it's a problem for you. So you have another kind of pressure.
So I have two questions. One question is there a favorite game you designed by your own that you say, this is my first game, so I love it, or this is the game I love the theme the most, or what is the game you like most you designed?
Probably the next one.
Good answer.
It's a good challenge. But about the published one, probably Marco Polo, because it's quite streamlined, but deep, with a good tension. I love Barrage and also Lorenzo, but probably Marco Polo is a little bit better.
My favorite game by you.
That's very funny that you name Marco Polo, because I have a list from a website in Germany, and they have one thread. It's called The Best Games of Simone Luciani. And on place one, it's Marco Polo.
It's like an evergreen, the Marco Polo game.
So the first three games on this page are on place one, Marco Polo. On the second place, Grand Austria Hotel. And on the third place, Lorenzo, der prächtige.
Yeah. Magnifique.
I love Lorenzo.
So what I like... Tolkien, the second most, and Barrage is my absolutely favorite game by you because of one fact. This is a Euro-style game, but it's very competitive. So when I played with Olgi the first time, he says he will always remember our first time playing Barrage, because I said to him, go out, leave my house, I hate you. Because it's if you miss the first step, you will you won't enjoy the game till the end. And it's the artwork, is it a worker placement? No, it's the placement where to put my dams, and it's a perfect game to me. So I like it. I like it.
Also for me, it's a game I like so much. It's a game that I don't play so often because feel me a little bit stressful. So it's a fight each time.
Yes.
And also because I test so much, because we release a new expansion, new sound, new things about it. So I test so much. So I play a little bit less for fun. But I love very much to play it.
So and the last question, or do you have another question, Daniel?
Yeah. Okay. so that I won't forget. And the second question, depending on my forthcoming question, is there a real funny story concerning a game design that you will still remember and said, this was so funny when we designed this game, or I designed Barrage on a toilet, on an aeroplane, or on an airport, or something like this? Is there any backside story?
Yeah, each game has some funny things about it. One of the funny stories about Grand Ostrie Hotel. We present to the publisher at the same time as Sulkin, and Lookout love both, but Sulkin is taken by CG, and then they like Grand Ostrie and sign the contract. But the game are totally different. It's something near the Kenner level. So really super, so much easy. The core mechanics is the same. So you take the dice and perform the action, but you push cubes on the track, very streamlined, super easy. Then we signed the contract, and then they disappear for some months. They have something to do. That pass 1 year, and then a new editor joined the company, and he said that we don't like mainly more than half of the game. So this is we don't like this one, this one, this one, this, or we like the core mechanics. Me and Virginio think a little bit, and then we destroy the game and redesign completely in 3 months. Super fast.
3 months.
We design. We now we have tabletop simulator, Skype. So at that time we don't have so much. So we designed 2 different games. Me at my house and Virginio at his house. Met in a meeting for 2-3 days. Test the game and mix them in a single game, but with very few tests. So I'm not joking. I test the final version 5 times. So and send to the publisher. But in our opinion, we sent to the publisher with a mail, said it's too bigger. We put a lot of things inside. Give us a feedback, and then we decide what cut, what remove, and then and balance something. The feedback is, oh, we want to publish it. It's great. No, no, stop. One moment. Don't run. No, it's good. It's good. A lot of people like it. We want to publish. Then they remove a small element, and they publish everything. And this is the start of my career of big game, more or less, because I saw... the game has a lot of stuff inside, but no, when it came out, it's not so much complex in the perception of the people, and the game starts slow, but start to sell good, and then remain in the heart of the people. A lot of people say Grand Ostrie is my favorite game or between your game. So this is a big part of talent, a big part of luck.
Yeah, the funny thing is, one of our guests were Sandy Peterson, and I do you know the game Cthulhu Wars?
The no, big never
area.
Played
okay,
it.
It's a very big area control game with a whole lot of plastic miniatures and very big scaled ones, and a very, very good and funny area control game. And Sandy said they developed it on a weekend. So he also said, I invited some people and we are developed it about 4 days, and that's the game.
And this was a real Kickstarter success.
It was a real success. Yes.
Yeah, they earned millions. Didn't they?
Yeah, for sure. But now I'm waiting for the German version. I pre-ordered
it. It's not the usual story. It's not the usual story.
No, exactly.
Usually games takes a lot of time to
we also
especially
had,
the biggest one.
Yeah, we also had some guests. They told us that they developed their game for a few years. One of my last videos was also a Kickstarter preview for a game which is called The Fork, Escape from Paradise. And the designer said he developed the game for about 4 years. So and he also it's very similar. Very similar story, because he said so he was developing for a few years, and from the one through the other second, he changed everything because of the theme, and the new development was in a few days, and now that's the game now. But that's a very funny thing, because you said that you changed everything, but the other things you are developing are not lost, because you learned of them and put the new things, the new mind in the final product. So it's
absolutely
not lost.
Absolutely. Sometimes you change everything, but the time you spend on this part give you a different perspective to see the problem, to see the game, and it's very useful. Also, when nothing remain or very few remain from the process.
And that's a perfect bridge to your new game. Is there a special story why you decided to develop a game which is called Anunnaki?
The game is called Anunnaki in the last 2-3 months. Mm-hmm. Four. Earlier is Avatar because I like the sound of the name, but we have some legal issues, so we explore, and there are some risk about the copyright of the name, so we choose to go to Anunnaki. I met Danilo Sabia many years ago in our game designer meeting. She submit a game to Cranio, and I look at the game. We met, I tried the game, and the core mechanics is the same, is not the same, but the core idea of the core mechanics is the same. So to draw a star, and if you connect connect the point, you have some prize. In the original version, you are forced to connect. I like the idea to have a selection action mechanism where you have to plan from turn to turn. So I go from here to here, but because I need this action, but also because I think for the next turn action and then probably also the next turn, so on. I like this idea. And I proposed to Danilo to build a game on this idea, destroying more or less a lot of style, everything around it. Like Barrage. Barrage and Anunnaki have the same process. I have a game that someone submit to me. I love one of the core mechanics, and then I propose to the designer a process where we redesign completely the game around that mechanics. And I have the feeling that with that mechanics, an area control 4X game could be interesting. Also because I like to explore. I love German games, but I also love Blood Rage, I love Sight. So I like to explore something new. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit boring when I design 10 games exactly with the same structure. So I like to try something new when I design. It's funny. And so we try to explore in a different way this kind of game. In the first idea, there was a mage in a magic theme. Mm-hmm. So you have some planeswalker that move from plane to plane and cast spell and something like that. But we are not convinced about this theme. Mm-hmm. And then I have the idea of the new theme. So the funny idea is to have all the pantheon in a single game. So you fight the Greek gods against the Egyptian gods, against the Babylonian, against... and everything fighting with different combination of power. So I like this kind of idea, and we developed this idea in the game, finally.
Oh, I thought Daniel will say something. I'm very interested in it, because why I'm so interested, Anunnaki is, there are called some creatures or... Yeah, so life forms which are called gods, and it's a very special theme because of pre-astronautic, and I read some books about this theme, and as when I saw that there will be a board game about it, I was hyped at the first moment that and when you
we don't invent a really new story. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of stuff from, for example, Stargate, but also from the literature about the Anunnaki, about the... We don't want to to tell a story about this this interpretation of a story. It's some for us. It's something about fantasy. Mm-hmm. It's not something scientific, but we like the fascination about this strange story where the ancient gods are alien with this, with the magical power, and we use some pieces from. I love Stargate, for example, and we take some pieces and mix them in a new story.
And I
okay,
also
the game components.
Yeah,
excuse me. The game components looked pretty finished on Spiel 21. So when I had a look onto the tables, my mind tells me you should launch it in February, but is it delayed right now?
It's delayed,
to Kickstarter?
Yeah. It's it will be launched in the second quarter, so probably
okay.
From the end of April and the beginning of May.
Okay, so are you still developing or designing at the game, or is it close to finish?
The game is closed. I designed everything in the Kickstarter, but we decide because we like to have a big narrative part in the game. We decide to release the game with a lot of content. So we have a campaign with scenarios different that tell the story of the origin of the Anunnaki and everything behind the final game. And then we have two more expansions with new faction, with new elements. We create something more. We design everything, but we take this time from the end of the Kickstarter to fix every balancing of every scenarios. So we are testing the scenario with additional people. We are testing the new expansion, the new faction. To have the feeling that everything is balanced and works very well, but it's the developing is in the end, and the small details to fix, but it's closed.
Will there be a in the Kickstarter campaign? Will there be a German version, or is it like Golem or the other games that it will just be published in English or Italian?
I'm not sure. We are working to have because some ask for the Italian version, the German version. The problem is that the game has a lot of text in inside, so it's not only an additional rule book, but we have to print. But we are working on a solution that help the people. But we are not sure if the game is only in English or there are several languages. I'm not sure about the final decision.
Okay, yeah. So I'm really interested. I also saw the pictures on Board Game Geek and the special player board. They are surrounded like a planet and like a world. And so I'm really really interested in the game. What do you think? What are the USPs? What are the special things which make this game so different to others? Or what are the things you think which make this game or this campaign a big success?
I think that I evaluate the success of my game when the people enjoy it and want to play again. When I play Barrage with the people, they say, oh, wow, great, I want to play again. And the feeling is more or less the same for Anunnaki. So I'm confident. I played yesterday with Paul Grogan. I play with a lot of testers. And the people like to play and ask to join the campaign. So the feeling is that the game is funny, more or less. The stronger point is the action selection mechanism that a lot of people like. So you move your pawn on the star and plan everything, and it's quite nice. Is not the other things is not so much different from Scythe, for example, but it's a little bit more. So when I design it, I take Scythe, the game I love, and expand the game with additional level of strategy. with additional possibility of combo. So I increased the possibility of the game, but the game remained more or less easier than Barrage, lighter and more fast to play. So with 1 hour and three quarters, at most 2 hours in full play, you are able to play. So it's a little bit fast and easy to learn, but a little bit more deep, more complex, but a little bit more deep than Scythe. So in my opinion, the people who love Scythe, who love this kind of game, have something more to try. Also, the theme, I love the theme because it's the theme of Scythe is super interesting. But when I see all the Pantheon fighting for the conqueror of the earth is something very epic, in my opinion. I like to test the game.
Yeah.
So I think what the good approach is in modern board games is the fact there are so many board games. People like and love more complex games, but they want an easy access to the game and then a straight deepness in the game. So that seems that this is your approach for the game. You said that so the access is good, quite good, but there are a lot of possibilities. Do you think the market develops in that direction, that people want an easy access to games, but a moderate playtime from 2 or 3 hours maybe, and the deepness is growing meanwhile the game? Is it difficult to design?
Don't know if I understand correctly. I think that the market is changing, and the way to develop the game is changing at the same time. So there are a lot of very easy game, super easy, like Just One, super fun, that win the Spiel des Jahres and sell a lot of copies. But there are also some medium game, a little bit more complex. So like Wings, the car, have an in-game building mechanics. You have a lot of cards to read and play, and there are some goal to reach. So more complex than Azul also. But that's all more than 1 million copies. And it's wow. This means that the people like to play a little bit more complex game than 10 years ago. So 10 years ago, there is El Grande that won the Spiel des Jahres. But Agricola is in publishing. It's impossible to publish. So gamers change their taste. So like more complex game. Also, the casual gamer like to play a medium level game. Also, Marco Polo is something that a lot of people are able to play. And it's quite complex. It's not super, super easy. So the market is changing. So, and I'm happy because this means that more people have experience with the heavy game, and but also that we have a lot of people that like very, very casual, that like to play. So are growing in both directions. And the market is changing. So are focusing on medium game or family game, but with some tricky, interesting depth. So also the family game, a lot of family game have something that also a gamer can like. And it's quite fun.
Yeah, sounds really interesting.
What do you think? What do you think about rule books or things like tutorials? Because that's, in my opinion, that's the main difference between video games and board games. Because if you start a video game, you just put the disc inside or download the game and you start playing, and the game introduces you in the mechanics. The game says, hey, use this button, press it at this second, and the character will jump over the cliff. And in board games, most of them, you have the rule book, you have to read the rule book. And then you have to understand and you have to play it. And mostly when you play a complex game, most of the games on the first game, at the end, you say, okay, we made some mistakes. So we say this was wrong, this was wrong, this was wrong. And do you think that there is a possibility to implement some things like tutorials for also complex games? Because when I recognized games like The Legends of Andor or the new one from Michael Menzel, Robin Hood, there is a rule book which you open, there's one side and the game says, okay, so place your figure there and let's start. And do you think that's also possible for more complex games or heavyweight or medium weight complex games? Because you also said the market is changing. I
understand. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure because for a gamer understand everything about a complex game is important. I think that the idea in Andor and also Robin Hood, and also there are a lot of legacy games have a first scenario very simple and then you learn, but also the crew have this kind of process where you the first game is super easy and then you add something during the campaign, and it's a really interesting approach. But personally create me some problem when I play Andor for the first time. I want to learn everything in the game, not okay, I move here, don't know why, look at the witch, but okay, new rules at random. At least I want to have the full identification of my choice. And I think some a strong part of the heavy gamers like to have an approach of this one. I think now we don't have a solution that works very well for the heavy gamers that is an alternative to the rule book. I think that some video included in with the game. But at the moment, the market don't find the perfect solution that are able to learn something to the player. Usually, I tried something like an introductory play with some simplification in Golem or in Lorenzo, but it's something very small, a small simplification, so it's not a big solution. It's something that make you a little bit easier, remove some choices, but the rulebook is a little bit longer. So I think at the moment we don't find the perfect solution to have. The perfect solution is a friend that read the rules and learn to you. It's a perfect solution.
That's the reason why Daniel have no friends, yes. Because he can't explain rules of games. No, it's just a joke. But I think
this is a real big mystery. So I can explain rules very good.
Oh yeah, but I think that's a very very big point of changes, because most of people who are not playing board games don't play board games because of the rules. When I talk to something like casual gamer or people who are playing once a year on Christmas. So if you talk to them and when you try to explain the rules and you need more time than 5 minutes, they say, oh no, that's too much. Let's play some other ones. And I think that's a very, very big competition for the whole board game community, because I think if this a tier is reached anywhere at the time. I think at this point of time, you will get much more people who are also playing games on their own, just not because Daniel invited them, just because they are happy to do it. I think that's the main crucial point.
So I have one funny moment. At the weekend, I played Quax of Quedlinburg with my daughter. She's 5 years old, and my wife. And my wife said, "Oh my no, so many rules. I don't like it." So she hates playing board games, and it has to be small and simple. But to me, you are totally right, Simone. I love playing heavy games, and I also love just reading rule books in the evenings. So I drink a glass of wine, reading a thick rule book. And on the one hand, you can say there has to be a more easy access to heavy games. On the other hand, you can say it is part of the game, part of the heavy game that you read such rule books. So it could also be fun. Now, so this is
a lot of people now like and love to play in solo, also to learn the rules. So before to explain the rules to your friends, you play a couple of games in solo mode, you understand better the game. And the solo mode grow the requirement of solo mode in an heavy game in the last 2, 3, 4 years.
Simone, have you ever...
I know what is coming up right now. I tell you, he will present you the Undaunted story.
Have you ever played a two-player game on your own? So Daniel can teach you how it works.
Well, Simone, the fact is, I played Undaunted. In the podcast, I presented and said I played Undaunted in the weekend. And Potty knew that I played it solo. And he said, with whom did you play it? I said, I played solo on my own to learn the rules and to see how mechanics work. And as a kid, everybody plays solo. He plays the soldiers on one side and then, it's like kind of role play. So this was no problem to me. Don't worry, I play Undaunted solo.
But I think in this golden age of board game, we are rediscovering our childhood.
So, Simone, let's come to an end for the next minute. So, would you like to talk about some projects which are coming up? And could you give some more information about the upcoming campaign with Anunnaki?
Yeah, but there is a new game coming with Daniele Tascini you are designing at the moment, is it right?
Yeah, it's one of the game we designed, I think, 3-4 years ago. Then pass through editor and then reach final board and dice. So it come this lesson. And it's a classical Euro with a nice dice drafting mechanism. Really complex because you have to plan a lot. It's on the complex side. If you see the last work of Daniele, it's something near Trismegistus of Tabannusi. Yeah, it's something like that, exactly. I think it's a good game. The main mechanic is that you draft dice. The dice are colored. The number is the resources you take. So if I take a 6 white, you take 6 wool, for example. But the dice are placed next to each action, and lowest dice give you access to the strongest action. So if you take 1, you take only 1 resources, but you perform a super strong action. And the association between action and dice change every round. So this action in this round is associated to the number 1. So it's a super strong action. The next round is associated with the number 2. So decrease a little bit the strength of the action. So it's a dice drafting. You move your pawn like Marco Polo through a map to take part of some scoring. And you have to plan very well because each round you have a scoring with... And you have to move your pawn to be part of scoring. So it's a classic Euro dice drafting game, quite nice.
It sounds interesting.
And about Anunnaki, something more. We release with three expansion, as I said. The core game is the action selection mechanics, and it's a little bit more about fighting and moving respect side, because you have you start from your own planet. You have each faction have a starting planet, and then you have the Earth in the center of the table, and the resources. Each time you harvest an X, the resources on the X decrease. So you cannot stay in the same X and harvest several times like site. You have to move and explore, because the reduce are tight and ends. So there are more competition with the player. It's not a super fighting game. So I follow the path that site open, where you have a war, warrior conflicts, but a lot of conflict are in the air, so you don't destroy your opponent like in Blood Rage. You have a lot of control about the combat, about the conflict between the player, but there are high interaction, there are good timing, so I'm quite happy about the final results.
And do you have some specific information about the campaign? Do you have some exact date when it will start? Do you know how much it will cost, or something like that?
We don't have exactly the date, but probably between the end of April and the beginning of May, more or less. We are not sure, because we still are following the art of the campaign. We there are a lot of stuff inside the game, so we are finalizing everything before start the campaign. We probably go with two main pledges, so a normal box with everything inside, but more or less near the retail edition, and a super big box with all inside. The price is still not decided, perfected, but it's near 70-80 euro for the normal game, and 150-160 for everything. And it's a super huge box, because you have a new faction, you have a campaign with scenarios, two expansion with, so a lot of stuff inside. And also the game is really big, more than sight as material, because you have 12 small units, 4 gods, 1 main gods. The settlements are also shaped. The planets are big. The presence on the table, one of the things that, say, Paul Grogan when saw the game, and I'm really happy, is that when you saw the game, it's a super table-pressed game, so super huge. But when you play, it's a good flow. It's quite short. It's not so much complex. So you see, the game is, we play 6 hours, and then after 2 hours or less, you finish the game. You have fun. So I think in this part we reach the results.
Sounds very, very, very interesting, and I will definitely follow the campaign. So Daniel, if you have any questions left? No?
No.
Okay. Then I think we have done today. So, Simone, thank you that you had time to talk to us.
Yeah, thanks for your time.
Thank you for your
time. It was a great pleasure.
Oh, I have one last question. I have one last question. Because so one of my best friend is also an Italian guy, and all three of us know Oiji, and there's one thing. Would you say that the community or the people in Italy are much more proud to stay together than in other countries? Because it's a bit funny, but also when I showed some game on my top board games, there was also a game from an Italian designer, and Audio said, oh yo, this designer, every game is very super. So the name of the author is enough that it's super. And so in my opinion, that's the reason why also Daniel and Oji made also top loop with Italo board games. So
best Italian board games. Sober Rush was on the number one of both.
So would you say it's a very special community, a very proud community to be an Italian board game designer?
I think it's a special community because we work on this community many, many years ago. So Paolo Mori, Walter Ober start to create this community, creating us a website and some meeting. And then the community growth with the same spirit, with the same to share your project, to, and it's a community more or less our friend. We have some competition, but mainly we have collaboration. And I really enjoy this this community because helped me to grow very much in design skill. And also a lot of people from the Italian community is also my co-designer and Tommaso Battista, Virginio, Gigli, Flaminia, Daniele. We a lot of people that share me, and I love, as you see, to collaborate. It's a lot. I have a lot more fun to creating game with other people than work alone, and so I enjoy a lot the spirit of the Italian community.
That's a perfect word to the end of this episode.
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you for your time. Danke, dass ihr alle eingeschaltet habt. Und ja, guckt euch auf jeden Fall die Kampagne an. So I will watch the campaign of Anunnaki very, very close. And I wish you a big success with all of your upcoming games. You are a very, very sympathetic person. So thumbs are pushed. And yeah, wish you a big success.
Thank you very much. Dann, thank you for your time.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yes, we have to thank you.
Leute, macht's gut. Bis zum nächsten Mal. Haut rein. Ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao a tutti.